This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We are going to jump into some Cavs here in just a few moments. But you know, one of the things we wanted to get to today was just this idea, and really just a question on whether how the Browns are handling Shador's popularity or his celebrity. Because I think, you know, I think Andrew tried to downplay that. I think Kevin's tried to downplay it. And I think the Browns are in a position where they're clearly going to take advantage of this on social media, on jersey sales, on knocking on everyone's door. Hey, we drafted Shador. I bet you want those season tickets now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
While also the football ops trying to completely downplay the hell out of this.
I think that's where we have to separate the football ops from like the social media team. I always think it's hysterical when people get mad at what any of these teams put on their socials. It's like the person in charge of these is not making football decisions.
Yeah.
They're just a social media manager that is trying to drum up interest and content. And oh, by the way, might have their job related to how well they perform in some of these instances and how many views and clicks, et cetera, they get.
I mean, I can understand why I can understand the frustration of it. But like, I mean, we've had people already, you know, whether it's to us or I've seen the comments on social media, I'm sick of talking about Shador Sanders. You might be, and we might get there, but the reality is there's a reason people keep talking about Shador, and it is part of the reason he's here. It might not be the number one reason he's here, but it is part of the reason he is here.
Well, part of the reason in that so many teams decided they didn't want the headache attached to it all.
Which is another great point. Like, Shador has, I don't want to say suffered the consequences, but the brand stuff is part of the fall, even if maybe his personality or interviews or his camp, however you want to frame the plunge, even though that's probably the bigger part.
I mean, but no question, it played and Albert's told us about this, and Albert's someone from Jump Street, was like, second round grade on him, doesn't think as high of him, but he's like, yeah, you know, when you're in that backup quarterback zone, do you want someone that's going to, you know, I believe the way Albert phrased it was like blend in like a couch, essentially, mm-hmm. just kind of fit into the background, or do you want someone that's going to be, the moment that they go to the mall, they're the most, you know, if there's the starting quarterback here and the backup quarterback here, more people are gravitating towards the photos with the backup quarterback. That might be a problem.
This is why, I got to tell you, I talked earlier about talking with Dan McDowell and his team on the Dumb Zone on the Dallas Station, not Dallas Station, but on the Dallas Sports Talk Show down there. The Jake, who's the co-host, compared Dylan Gabriel to Brock Purdy. He said, I think all best case scenario, I think that's who he is. And I was like, you're saying this about the physicality, right? The upside physically. But why I think Dylan Gabriel is the quintessential Kevin Stefanski quarterback is the personality. I think that's – and the same thing with Brock Purdy in San Francisco. Like, it's apparent Kyle Shanahan does not want a big personality at quarterback. And I think that – I think how much that truly weighs in, we might not know for a very long time when it comes to Shador and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Stefanski, if that's the type of quarterback that he wants, it's not what you're getting with Shador. But maybe that's why he made it to the fifth round. You know, Stefanski knew that.
Well, but, I mean, I think Baker – I think Kevin helped I think Kevin helped grease the wheels of Baker on his way out in Cleveland because of the personality. Like, I think if Baker had had the personality of Brock Purdy, I don't think he gets moved on from. I think Kevin would have went to bat for him.
Well, that was an arranged marriage, too. You know, obviously,
he had no decision
in that. It wasn't anything that was. It came with the package.
Well, so
that's what we have to debate, right? Like, is this an arranged marriage? Is this forced upon Stefanski? Or is this someone that Stefanski was like, you know what? We collectively, and they always talk about collaboration. How much of the collaboration side of this was Stefanski?
So I don't think I'm at a point where I can say I don't think the Browns are mishandling the Shador thing. They understand they've got a gold mine on several parts of this. And I don't begrudge an organization for leaning into that. What I think would be really interesting is if we go back to the Boog tweet from last week with Shador getting the number 12, where he associated that as disrespect of Shador. I think that's the part where I think we're going to find out how good the Browns are at managing. And I don't know what's going to be public right away, but that cross section of Shador's personality and what the Browns give into, or if they try to make a point to Shador and penalize him for that, I think that's the area where, to me, becomes a gray zone over the next couple months.
I think it'll be very much like it was with Miles, and then very much like it was with Baker in many respects, where when it was great, it's great, and when it isn't, it becomes very obvious why even taking a chance on a person like that can end up being a little problematic.
But I think you were right earlier today. I was a little too cynical. I was a little too, none of this matters. I should have let people have more fun today.
I had fun with it.
I yucked too many yums.
And it's okay.
And I'm never that guy, which I don't know why I was in that moment.
I was having so much fun just watching him throw footballs and be on a football field. I feel like we've talked so much. You know what it was for me, Nick? It was the idea that we've spent so much time since seeing them actually play football, and we talk about this every day, and for us it's 5 hours a day, and for a lot of fans out there, they consume all this content and they take in everything that we say on it, and it's so cool. And then but you don't get to see him actually play football, and then today you got to see him actually throw a football, even if it's meaningless. I'll give you that. Even if it's meaningless, it's just fun to see.
But I also think, like, the part that I think I missed earlier was as soon as you said it, man, it hit me like a pile of bricks right in the you know where's. Of the idea of, because you had said, well, I think some of this is just people are excited to be excited about the Browns without having to deal with the Deshaun stuff.
Yeah.
And that's so true. Like, whether the Browns are good or not this year really isn't what I'm most invested in, just because I think there's a lot of clear stuff here. This is about figuring this out. If you can figure this out and win, awesome. But you might have to drop a couple games in the interest of figuring it out. But there is an element of just getting back to liking the Browns, liking the guys on this team. And I think that's where as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, I was that guy today. So I will not be that guy going forward.
You were fine.
Now,
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
As we are getting closer and closer to tip-off of Game 3, should probably do another round of vibe checks. How are we feeling?
You know what's weird? As closer we've gotten to the game, the more and more I haven't pushed it in the background, obviously, because we've talked about it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel incredibly confident, but I just feel like we've been waiting on this game now for so long. I just feel like it'll never get here.
You think it's the extra day?
It feels like we've been waiting on it for so long. And then in between the breaks, even on the TV, it had people talking about the probability of the three of them playing. And I'm like, we've been discussing that for what seems like an eternity.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think if we had gotten the Darius news right when we went on air, as opposed to, I think it was like halfway through Baskin and Phelps, I think we still might be jonesing. But I think I was more trepidatious about this game when there was, I don't think he's, when I until Shams said that, I just thought none of them are going to play. But now the idea that one of the three or all of the three might actually play, it kind of got me going. It was like, all right. So, but now I'm just to the point of like, let's get to the damn game.
Let's get to the game. That's where I'm at too. I want tip off to happen. I'm excited for the game. I'm ready for the Cavs to basically get their revenge. What I wanted after the Tuesday nightmare game, and then to be able to like rewrite it and just instantly go ahead and write that wrong. That's what I want, and that's what I'm excited for.
Well, and it's funny. Like, I view every opportunity in the rest of this series until you either come back or get eliminated. I view it all as like, all right. Come on, big boy. Like, let's do this. And if we're not ready to do it, that's okay. Or if we can't do it because of injuries, that really will have to be okay in the long run. This one will sting for a lot of reasons. And if this is as far as they get, and 3 years from now, it's a core two, and it's Darius and it's Evan, we'll look back at this one as the one that got away. But for like right now, I am taking a little bit of solace in, all right, this is another opportunity to find out how truly great these guys have the capability to be.
Well, and it'll be really cool to see them play and play through the injuries that they have and just see how they, I don't know, kind of rally together. But there's so many different parts of this game that I'm interested in. I'm interested in how deep does Kenny Atkinson actually go within the bench? Does Donovan have to put on the cape like he tried to do in the first two games? What does Ty Jerome's bounce back look like? Like, there's so many, there's layers on layers on layers on this one that you typically don't see for game three of the second round.
And, I mean, in game two, Indy really didn't show up the way they did in game one. It's as if
not for the first three quarters.
It's as if they were content to split the series, split the first two games.
I just think they just thought it was going to be a walk in the park.
So that is what I wonder about game three. Like, I think you're going to get the best fight you could possibly get out of the Cavs, whether they're all hands on deck or whether you only get one of the three guys or none of the three guys. Whatever it is, I think you're going to get a hell of a fight from the Cavs. Because desperation brings out that kind of effort. But I don't know what we're going to get out of Indiana tonight. I mean, what's interesting.
The Cavs caught Indiana sleeping, which is, it's apropos because it's called Naptown. But they caught them sleeping in game one. And that's why, I mean, the first quarter, Donovan had as many points as the Pacers had. Their whole game plan was basically rest Haliburton for as long as you could and make Siakam go ahead and put the team on its shoulders. Like, you had them dead to rights, and the Cavs took advantage of it. I will be shocked if Indiana plays a first quarter like they did in game two.
But, man, I just...
Because it's there for them. It's there for the taking. They got the home crowd. Everything's all set up for them. And they can't sleep on this Cavs team, whether it's Darius or whether the three of them are out and it's got to be Donovan and Jared Allen to go ahead and take over. Like, there was respect earned in that game because you led for 47 minutes.
I don't know. I think Indiana's enough of a troll. I think Indiana is smelling themselves right now. I don't think they respect the Cavs very much.
Oh, I don't know how you leave that game too, not respecting the Cavs.
I think they're going to fall back on we were sleeping, and that's why you got to the lead you did.
I think they
got to
look at it as if they got to play hard. If they don't play hard, the game will get away from them easy.
I think the Knicks and Pacers think the same thing right now. Kurt Heelan said it about the Knicks.
Yeah,
about the team of destiny thing.
Wild team of destiny comment.
That's how you feel when you're the light seed.
That's how you lose series too.
Well, but both teams are coming back from dramatic numbers. You know, 14 points, 20 points for the Knicks. That's where we are. Now, again, hopefully that puts them to sleep a little bit. But that's the only part. I think the Cavs are going to come out with their hair on fire to start this game, at least defensively. But I have no feel for what Indy's going to do. 216-474-0092. Henry, you stick there. We got a Game 3 vibe check. And talking about destiny with this series, with this Cavs team, in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.